Finley had won the toss and decided to take the ball.
Right.
And so, obviously, in the game of football, guys take that personal. And
yeah, because so the default is almost always defer.
Defer because the guys want the ball in the second half. Mm. So, our guys kind of took that to heart, and they came out lit on fire, man. The hair was on fire. Milan comes off the edge, strip sacks quarterback, scoops and score for a touchdown. So, kind of got things off to a good start defensively. Obviously, we had to come right back out on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think they forgot about that part. They had to come back out on the field and play defense again. And so, but our guys came out fired up, I thought, defensively to start that football game and kind of gave us a chance. And then Bimba picked up a scoop and score off a fumble and ran it in, you know, to score our second point. So our defense came out ready to play initially.
Well, and then you mentioned it, like it kind of works both for and against you when something like that happens, because you guys got that fumble recovery right away, and then Finley goes on a long drive and scores a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So now your defense had been on the field for over 8 minutes straight, and you're off both and sitting on the sideline for 8 minutes of game time.
Yeah, that could have – that's part of the issue. Our guys can get into a – we still have to get off the field, and we can't help them move down the field. So, to that, you know, our defense could have been a much better from that regards, getting off the field on third down. And
so, they converted three downs and 2 fourth downs.
Yeah. And so still – although we started out pretty good defensively, you know, we didn't help ourselves either.
Right, right.
To help the offense as well. So it goes hand in hand at the end of the day. So I, you know, with our guys, even though when they came out and they drove.
Actually, I was just going to say, we did put together a good drive, but unfortunately ended with a turnover.
And then ended with a turnover. So our offense did move the ball. And then, but after that, you know, we couldn't really generate much.
Yeah. And, but you mentioned that we got the, after, so it's 7-7, and Bimba makes a big play. Tell everybody about how that play unfolded.
Yeah, it was a run play. I can't remember exactly what run it was, but it was a run play, and the runner was getting tackled. The running back was getting tackled, and as he was going down, one of our guys popped the ball out. Jace pops the ball out, and it pops right up into Bimba's hand, and he takes it in for the score. So you can only imagine how our sideline was. Our guys fired up. You know, defense is scoring two touchdowns, man, in the game. So they were definitely jacked up and fired up for that. So
it was an odd first quarter because, like you, it's 14-7, and we're up, and there's been three turnovers, two for them, one for us, and it was just an odd quarter.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And it sounds like a terrible question, but I don't know how to else describe it, but it was just odd.
Yeah, it felt a little odd, too.
Yeah.
It felt a little odd out there as well, my man. But, hey, that's the way it goes.
We're talking with Leonard Haynes here on Northwood Football Weekly, live from Reap Marina on ESPN 100.9 FM. And second quarter, pretty standard. Finley got a field goal, and that was all. And it was 14-10 at halftime. Yep. So even though the offense maybe wasn't doing what you hoped, you still held the lead at halftime. Mm-hmm. So you got to feel good about the fact that in spite of not feeling like you're executing that well, you still held the lead at the break.
Yeah, and again, it's about coming out and finishing that next half. And so all our guys go in the locker room. We all say 0-0, and, you know, our coaches make adjustments. We come back out. You know, I give them a quick spill, you know, about finishing the game. And so we were getting the ball to come out. And, again, we don't put together a drive enough to generate some points, which I think could be a definitely turning point for us if we can get some points on the board offensively. And so we did not do that. But our guys kept fighting. You know, I'm always proud of them because they just keep fighting and try to figure things out. And they don't unravel.
Yeah, and that was a game, you know, you talk about, you know, it's weird to say this, but, you know, we got two defensive touchdowns off turnovers, but we still lost the turnover battle. And obviously, it's so cliche to talk about how important turnovers are in football, but when you're still a minus two, it's on the road, that's going to be really hard to win.
That's tough on the road, yeah. And so, and we talked about last week, us we're not having any, getting any turnovers from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah.
We, off the back, you know, we get a couple, and but we're not generating points. Now, if we're turning the ball over too, hey, that's just not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. So
it's I'm treading into dangerous waters here for coaches here, but unfortunately for you guys right now, offensively, it's a lot about some of the guys you don't have out in the field, and it's put some guy. This is why I know I feel myself sweating asking this question, but a lot of you're basically in a position where you're going to have some guys that maybe weren't expecting to step up really have to step up for you.
Yeah,
guys.
And really, really, I mean, that's a valid statement.
Yeah.
We got to have guys step up now. You know, obviously we do have some guys out. We had a few guys out and that we wish we didn't have out. But, again, all these guys were recruited,
yep.
You know, and so now it's your turn. It's your turn up. So I know that old adage, next man up, hey, truly, now is your turn. It's
yep.
your turn
yep.
to step
yep.
up and to see what you can do. And now it's our job as coaches to put these guys in a position to be successful because, you know, losing a couple other guys that we've lost – they're not those guys. And what I mean, everybody has a different skill set,
yep,
different
yep.
talent. So
yep.
we got to tap into these other guys, what their skill set is, and we have to expose that.
And I know that can't be easy for your coaches either because I don't want to specifically mention names, but John Hall, you've probably based a lot of your offense around John Hall. John Hall did not grow on trees around here. Or anywhere, because he's just a very unique player. So you really have to cater your offense, like you said, to their different strengths. And that's an adjustment for everybody, coaches, players, and everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it starts off with coaches and then, you know, seeing what we have. And, again, I believe we do have some really talented young players. And now it's their time to step up because with the absence of a couple of those guys, now somebody else's time to shine, I guess, so to speak. So and we'll see coming this weekend, you know.
Well, speaking of this weekend, the other thing that's nice is that as weird as it was to have three games on home to start, I thought it was even weirder to have three games on the road. It feels like you guys have been gone for a long time. Must
yeah.
be nice to come back
yeah, it
home.
It feels like about a month almost, right?
Yeah, it is a month. It'll be basically a month between games. But it's just been very odd because, like, after 3 weeks, I was like, man, because those football days are tough. The home games are a lot of work and everything. I'm like, this is exhausting. And then, like, I feel like we've been home every week. Then all of a sudden, like, man, I got to remember how to do football again all of a sudden because it's been a little bit of a time. So this weekend, return home to Hand Stadium, 1 o'clock Saturday against Hillsdale. Mm-hmm. And Hillsdale's a team that's not firing on all cylinders right now as it is either right now because they're coming off a couple of losses. They lost at Kentucky Wesley, and then they just lost at home to a very good Tiffin team that's leading the GMAC right now 41-0. But I feel like we talk about this every week. We've played these teams we've played in the past.
Yeah.
Keith Otterbein has been at Hillsdale for a very long time, and there's going to be no surprises, I'm guessing, coming out of that team offensively or defensively because they've run the same system for a very long time.
For a very long time. They've had the system under Keith Otterbein for a long time. You're right. They are who they are. They're going to line up, and it's like plug and play for them.
Yep.
You know, this is their system, and you basically you just got to stop it, right?
Yeah.
Offensively and defensively. They're a 4-2-5 defense. These kids, they play disciplined football. You know, offensively, hey, they're going to be under center. They're going to be shotgun. They're going to run power. They're going to run
yep.
counter.
Yep.
They're going to throw it deep. They're
yep.
going to throw it deep. And they're going to run a little sprint outs.
Things yep.
in their boots. So that's Hillsdale. I mean, they haven't changed. They just get kids and recycle them. They just recycle them all the way through. So we know what we're going to get. And, again, we have to execute. We have to be a disciplined football team in terms of our assignments and our technique.
It's a little bit about – the thing about them is that it's a little old school. Like, they got the H-back in there. It's the same system. This is not the typical spread option offense that everybody else seems to be running right now.
No, it's not the typical. I mean, they've added some wrinkles, obviously, but you kind of know what you're going to get in a way, and you just got to be able to line up and stop it. But it's kind of sort of a smash mouth concept. Obviously, Otterbein's old school, like you said, and they want to run a ball initially. They want to run it. They want to run it. And then they will throw it up. They do have a dynamic receiver.
I was just going to say, my next question was about their wide receiver. He's among the national leaders in a lot of different categories.
Yeah.
What kind of – what do you expect?
Go ahead.
No, does he, how does he, how, what's his game? What are the strengths to his game?
Man, the kid can run. He can catch. He plays ball very well. I mean, he's a dynamic football player. We're very transparent, and our players know that.
So yeah.
We know we have to prepare as such, you know, because they're going to take their shots. They're going to take their shots with him because he is that type of player. And so it's a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for us to go out there and compete at a very high level against him.
And you mentioned a little bit about their defense. You said 4-2-5 is what they're running.
4-2-5.
And what – What are they trying to accomplish defensively with that system?
Well, I mean, as you play the law of averages, right? What is the offense doing on first down, second down? So they're going to play to whatever they think you got coming. They want to stop the run first, obviously. Then they will mix it up, move with their defense alignment. They run some stunts, some twists. They will get in the three-man down package, right, Ryan? And then they will come blitzing with their three-man package down front, that is. So they got some good players. They got some sound players, and we just got to execute and do our job.
Well, Coach, another tremendous interview. I'm assuming King won again this weekend. I mean, they win every weekend.
Man, did they? I don't know. I've been doing a really poor job of keeping up with my high
school. You know what school is winning a lot right now are the Gladwin Flying G's, alma mater.
They're doing really well.
They're doing really well. So,
I've heard a lot about Gladwin. We got our eye on them right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can tell you that none of the athleticism was provided by me or my family at any point.
So
while
that's
we were
your
there.
Alma mater?
That is where I'm a Flying G, man. Yeah. Well, class of 90. We don't need to talk about that. That was a long time ago.
That's the first time I've heard of this.
I know. I would say more, but we're just going to end it right there. Any shout-outs this week, Coach Haynes?
Oh, man, to all of my family that's listening.
Yeah. I almost think we should take that as, like, it's a given. You're giving, like, your son, your mom, and all that. Do you got anybody else you want to give a shout-out to?
Everybody.
Okay. I'll give a shout-out to Drew Collison, my friend Drew Collison. It was just his birthday the other day. He always listens. So
that's awesome.
There we go. I'll give a shout-out.
I don't know. I got to think about it.
All right.
Maybe my father.
Okay, there we go. I like it. I like it. So
I'm gonna eat these peanuts here.
You're still on the air. I put a little pressure on you about give a shout out, and then all of a sudden you start eating. So.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Coach Haynes, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Good luck Saturday against Hillsdale.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Ryan DeHommel. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Reema on ESPN 100.9 FM.
What makes a championship team?
Hard work, skill, expertise, and focus.
It takes a great team to complete a successful sale in today's complicated real estate market.
Air Reinhardt's team of more than 40 full-time realtors and professional support staff work together with buyers and sellers to smooth out the process with winning results.
Your first home to investment property. Air Reinhardt is committed to providing the highest level of expertise and guidance.
Call on the Air Reinhardt team at arhouse.com.
That's arhouse.com.
For extraordinary care in the Great Lakes Bay region, you know just where to go.
Oh yeah, Covenant Healthcare.
But when you need to decide whether to go to emergency, urgent care, or your primary care provider,
well, let me get back to you on that.
Here's how to get the right care in the right place at Covenant. See your primary care doctor for ongoing, non-urgent complaints, like joint or muscle pain, digestive issues, mild headaches, etc. If it's after your doctor's office hours and your care can't wait, come to a MedExpress urgent care location. It's the perfect choice for ear infections, respiratory illness, sprains, stomach aches, and so on. Virtual urgent care and doctor visits are also available. Finally, call 911 or go directly to emergency if you have heart attack or stroke symptoms or any severe injury. Still not sure? Call or text Covenant Care Connect at 989-583-3135 and we'll help you decide. Covenant Healthcare.
At Dow, the promise to imagine better is the foundation of every great achievement. Since our founding 125 years ago, our imagination is what's united us around the search for bigger and bolder solutions to create something from nothing. Our imagination is what drove us to innovate for 125 years and will propel us forward for many years to come. Learn more at Dow.com/Dow125.
You'll do better at Garver.
Hi folks, Craig Lang here. Our service department is open for business. There's no better place to find knowledgeable ASC certified technicians than the service center of Garver Chevrolet in Midland. We welcome all vehicle makes, models, and ages. Our technicians are well experienced in what they do. The vast majority of mechanical issues across virtually all makes and models can be served at Garver Chevrolet. We encourage you to visit us for your next service appointment. Corner Saginaw and Eastman, GarverMidland.com.
Chevy, find new roads.
Welcome back to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Reap Marina on ESPN 100.9 FM. Tonight's show is Brought to you by the soon-to-be-opened Frick's Bar and Grill on Saginaw Road here in Midland. That's where we'll be someday over the rainbow here. We're looking forward to... I still call him Coach Jeff Reckaway. He hasn't been a coach for a while, but Jeff Reckaway, Kurt Broussard, working hard to get it reopened. It's got a great new paint job. It'll be real fun when that place opens up. So, our next guest comes from the offensive line, Hudsonville, West Michigan kid, Ryan DeHummel. Ryan, how are you tonight?
Good, T-Mac. How are you?
I'm great. How are you feeling, right? How's the body? At this time of year, after a few games, this is now week 7, so 6 straight games. How's the body feeling right now?
Yeah, body's good. Normal nicks and bruises and everything that comes with playing O-line, but other than that, body's good, been healthy.
So. I was just going to say, there's no way anybody's healthy right now, especially up front. Right now, you're at center, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I know you've kind of – everybody in the offensive line is interchangeable. Is that your preferred position up front, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I came in at tackle, played a little bit of guard in my sophomore year, and then I've been at center since 2019, and this is where I feel the most comfortable.
And you, you make a lot of calls too, obviously. You make the offensive line calls. Is that the part of what you like about it the most?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just easy for me, especially just having to give those calls. Kind of reminds me at the time too what I have to do. Just makes everything a lot easier.
We're talking with Ryan DeHummel here on Northwood Football Weekly on ESPN 100.9 FM. We mentioned Hudsonville. How was your high school career?
High school was good. My freshman year, we didn't win a game. My sophomore year, JV, we went undefeated. And then my junior and senior year on varsity. My junior year, we beat Rockford for the share of the conference, which was the first time since like 2007, I believe. So that was pretty cool. Then ended up losing to him playing in the second time, back-to-back weeks, first round of the playoffs.
That's hard.
Yeah, that was tough. And then my senior year, we ended up going 4-5, and we lost to Rockford the last game of the season to knock us out of the hunt for the playoffs. But, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, Rockford's always a power over there, too, West Michigan. My brother lives in Jenison, so, offensive line, how do you guys feel going forward? Obviously, you guys are a huge part of everything the offense wants to do. What are going to be the keys for you guys to play at your top level going forward the rest of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been moving around a lot, just guys at different positions with different injuries and things that have happened. But overall, we just got to trust each other. That's the biggest thing. We got a group with 4 fifth-year seniors and then a sophomore this year, and we've all played together, so it's just going to be a lot about trusting each other and believing that we know what we're doing and we're going to get out there and do it.
And it's weird because, like you mentioned, I know, like I said early on, you guys have all been shifting around. You're all veteran players, but you're all playing different positions. So you're kind of veteran players, but you're veterans in new spots. So how has that adjustment been for most of you guys?
I think it went pretty smoothly. With Jawan, he moved to tackle this year, and he's done a really good job out there. Kyle still at tackle. I know he bounced around a lot last year, and then our two guards just kind of flipped. One went left, one went
right.
Compared to last year, and everybody's adjusted really well. And just being on the field that we have for so long and trusting each other, the transition was pretty easy.
Some of the guys you got, like that, maybe some of the freshmen or the underclassmen, who are the players that Northwood fans should look forward to seeing in the future playing on the O-line?
Yeah, absolutely. You got Gavin Wisniewski, Makai Watts, Zach Heidema, Mitch Umler, Mike McCurr. Trying to make sure I don't forget anybody. Marquise Nolan. There's a lot of guys coming up that are going to be really good and be able to fill those spots. So.
When you think back to this is one of my favorite questions, like the difference between you, your first year to now fifth year senior, what's been the biggest difference in the type of football player you are from then to now?
Honestly, my pass protection. In high school, I was a tight end, a tackle on the outside, but came in here, didn't really have a lot of experience, pass protecting and things like that. And so that was like the big thing that I wanted to improve on, and I feel like that's something I'm a lot better at now.
And I think I say it a lot about basketball, but football is the same thing too. What playing hard is in high school versus what playing hard in college is are just completely – because in high school you probably need to take some plays off because they need you on the field, and now you take a play off and you're going to have Coach Arnold up your butt.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
What's your major at Northwood? What do you hope to do when you're done playing football?
Yeah, I'm a sports management major. I definitely, after I'm done, looking to get into the sales, ticket sales, season tickets, stuff like that, pretty much anywhere. I've had a couple interviews. So just hoping those land and see what's next.
And are you graduating in December? Yep. Or okay, I was going to say, because that's the nice thing about the fall sports is you guys can just be done, basically.
Absolutely.
Play your last game and then go into graduate. You don't really get a chance to have much senioritis, though.
No.
But maybe in the classroom, but don't tell anybody, right?
Yeah, don't tell Coach Haynes.
No, Coach Haynes does not need to hear that. He's too busy eating that signature trail brand mix over there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ryan, thanks for joining us. Great job on the show, and good luck this weekend against Hillsdale.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Northwood baseball coach Jake Sable. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Reap Marina on ESPN 100.9 FM.
Home is where the heart is. Since 1903, we've called the heart of Michigan our home. When you bank with us, your money stays right here, invested back into the communities where we work, play, and live, promoting economic growth and community service. At Isabella.
Welcome back to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Reap Marina on ESPN 100.9 FM. Our next guest coaches our baseball team, one of our top programs here at Northwood, coming off another successful season, Jake Sable. Coach Sable, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Travis. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about last spring. It was another really good season for you guys. Made the NCAA tournament, got to win the NCAA tournament. Looking back on that season now, what are your thoughts of that, looking back on that season?
Yeah, I think it was just another step in the program's belt here. You know, I think we are continuing to realize that we can do some things that maybe people don't always expect us to do year in and year out. And I do realize it was a ton of fun. Our guys enjoyed the stretch run there, getting a chance to play in the NCAA tournament for the fifth year in a row. Just kind of some things our program talks about throughout the year, giving our guys a chance to be able to do that and experience that baseball from that that stature. So we're excited about hopefully, you know, returning back there this year and doing some really great things.
You've got a lot of guys back from that team. You lost some key players, of course, as you always do, but you got a lot of key players back. So how are you feeling about this fall? You're almost done with your fall season at this point. How do you think the fall's gone for you guys?
The fall has been great. You know, I think the weather has really helped that out. We've had tremendous weather, and what we look for in the fall really is just our guys coming in ready to compete. You know, like you mentioned, we have lost a few guys that were impactful players for us a year ago, but we do have several of those guys returning who have a ton of innings under their belt and played in meaningful games for us the last couple of years, and expect those guys to continue to contribute and keep getting better, of course. But also it's a chance to see the new guys who come in and see kind of how the guys who were here a year ago return, and, you know, are they better? Are they more confident? And just get an idea for what this team's identity might be heading into the winter. But we're wrapping up right now with our Fall World Series, highly competitive games. Our guys usually enjoy the end here, and just a chance to compete against one another as we wrap up these next couple of days.
Yeah, for those that don't know, the fall season for baseball is the equivalent of spring football for them, where really you guys are just kind of scrimmaging, exhibition games. That doesn't really count towards the season. But let's talk about some of those key guys that are back. I like to start with Derek Clark. Derek Clark's been a horse for you guys, and from his first day on campus, I mean, he literally probably almost – he should have thrown a no-hitter his first career start if it wasn't for a scorekeeping decision they overturned later on. But Derek's just been – the kind of guy you want at the top of your rotation.
Yeah, we're lucky to have a guy like Derek. I think he just he bleeds Navy and Columbia. He loves everything about our program, and it certainly it doesn't hurt that he's one of our best guys. Super competitive kid. Really thrilled about having him for a couple of more years, but he's had a great career thus far, two really impressive seasons under his belt, and yeah, he's going to anchor that pitching staff, you know, more than likely probably going to throw on Fridays for us and set the tone for the weekend series and hopefully, you know, continue to allow other guys to see what it takes to be really good, you know, at this level. So he does a great job, and excited to see what he does here in year three.
When you talk about Derek, because the thing about Derek is he's listed at 5'8". He's genuinely a 5'8" pitcher that you just don't think that guy should be that good. What is it about him? I mean, his competitiveness is obviously, I think, his top attribute, but what do you think it is about him physically as a pitcher that makes him so good?
Boy, oh boy, the makeup. You know, his makeup is off the charts. He knows he's better than you. He's super confident. but also, you know, he puts in the work to have that mindset. He's just not someone who gets by based on talent. He certainly does have that, but he cares about being really good. He's one of our hardest workers in the weight room, out at practice. He's kind of another branch of the coaching staff with the pitchers. He wants to make sure our guys on our staff are getting better too, so anything that he can do to offer some advice to our guys, you know, they certainly listen to him as a leader. And yeah, being 5'8", you know, it is what it is, right? I tell our guys all the time, I don't really care as long as you can get outs. And if you have that kind of makeup that he does, and you trust your stuff and you know how to defend your stuff, and you go out there and compete and give us 5, 6, 7, 8 innings, quality innings, and give us a chance to win each and every weekend, that's kind of what we're looking for. And he usually does that for us.
We're talking with Jake Sabol here on Northwood Football Weekly, live from Reap Marina on ESPN 100.9 FM. And I think the other thing about your team, too, is we always talk about, if you hear baseball cliche, is you got to be strong up the middle. And you're up the middle on paper should be a real strength to you guys. Now, Magno is going to probably not catch as much as he used to, but you got Matt Magno, Rhett Evans, David Jeffers, and Jacob Rybicki up the middle are all basically players that could be all region players for you this year.
Certainly is a strength for us. You know, those guys, they've all made their impacts and left their mark on this program in different ways. Some guys like a Matt and Jake who are in their fifth year, and maybe it wasn't perfect for them by any means as freshmen, but now have solidified themselves as some of the better players in program history. And then Dave and Rhett coming in together a couple of years ago as transfers and kind of playing every single day at those two middle spots definitely allows us to have some continuity there in the middle and be really good from a defensive standpoint. So yeah, we're built strong up the middle, somewhere where you need to be in order to have a pretty good defense and be fundamentally sound. And I know those guys are super thrilled to kind of get going, but just kind of finish their career on a high note and hopefully do some really great things this year.
Well, one guy we talked a little bit about your pitching already with Derek Clark, but Jane Dentler had an unbelievable first year for you. He was the GLIAC Freshman of the Year, the GLIAC Freshman of the Year. Not this year. He will not be the GLIAC Fresh Pitcher of the Year because now we're in the GMAC, but Jane Dentler is going to be another horse for you guys.
He is, man. We are very lucky to have a guy like Jaden too. You know, him and Derek at the top there are better, you know, than most Division II programs. You're not going to get two guys who just compete and know who they are and trust their stuff a certain way. And those guys definitely are two of the better ones you're going to run into. But Jaden's a little different. You know, he's not going to be your 90-92 guy. He's going to throw a ton of strikes. He's going to pitch backwards. You know, he's got that compete aspect too. And he's pitched a lot of meaningful baseball the last couple of years also. So obviously had a tremendous first year for us, you know, wanting him to continue to get better and hopefully, you know, take on a larger role this year. With him and Derek at the top, I think this pitching staff has a chance to be really good. But those guys are going to carry us and they work really well together. And Jane's the same way, man. Good leader, even since he's been here, you know, first got here as a transfer. He wasn't shy to kind of open up and show guys who he was and take guys under his wing. I mean, he wants to win more than anyone. So he was a nice surprise for us last year. And obviously we're really excited about those two guys at the top.
But that's, I mean, you got some other guys like Miles Beal and others that are also coming off really good years. Talk about some of those other guys that you're expecting to have some good years coming up this year too.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about a few guys who, you know, were all-conference or in the mix to be all-conference last year, like a Miles Beal, obviously freshman player of the year a year ago, and hopefully, you know, he continues to improve there. Had a really great summer there towards the end of the Northwoods League. You got Joey Johnson over at third base, who was a second-team guy last year. You know, he continues to improve at the plate and probably one of our better hitters, you know, right now at the moment. Then just a couple other pieces who've played quite a bit the last couple of years. Carson Longstreth, who hopefully is going to get a chance to double down as a two-way guy a little bit more this year on the mound and while also playing in the outfield. And then kind of a little bit of a surprise, who's just gotten better every year he's been here. Blake Solomon, probably handling a lot of reps over at first and catching a little bit for us this year. He was MVP of the Hamptons League this summer, really did a nice job. So just a couple guys that expect big things from to kind of round out our lineup.
Coming into the GMAC this year, it's obviously going to be different, but in a lot of – I think it's just going to be – like the GLIAC had Davenport, had that great – it was the number one team in the region, Wayne State, Grand Valley, Saginaw, all these teams. But, like, I kind of think, like, maybe there's – that's more teams in the GMAC, and I don't know if it's better, but it's different. Or maybe there's more teams that are better. What are your thoughts about the GLIAC versus the GMAC coming into this first season?
I think it's going to be an interesting transition. We've played several of the GMAC schools the last couple of years, so we are pretty familiar with them. But there's really good baseball in that conference, too. I think that the top half has done a really nice job competing on a national level the last 4 or 5 years. And I think with us heading into the conference now, hopefully that gives it a little bit more credibility and adding another opponent who's played in the NCAA tournament to everyone else's schedule. So, you know, we're still going to try and keep a lot of those GLIAC opponents on the schedule and non-conference stuff during the week, which will help our schedule, of course, and keep the rivalries amongst our programs. But overall, 12 baseball schools in the GMAC. It's a fairly healthy conference. It's super competitive. I know it's only going to continue to get better, so we're looking forward to our first year there.
Well, Coach Sable, love watching you guys play. Can't wait for the spring to come around. We've got a lot between now and then, but we're still really looking forward to the spring, and thanks for joining us, and good luck this upcoming season.
Yeah, I appreciate that. If anyone wants to come out, Navy Columbia World Series Friday at 2 p.m. will be game 4, and then Sunday at noon we'll wrap up our fall.
There you go. Nice plug, Coach. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the show. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly on ESPN 100.9 FM. Welcome back for the final segment of Northwood Football Weekly, live from Reap Marina on ESPN 100.9 FM. Tonight's show is sponsored by the Polecat Golf Course in Mount Pleasant. It is a championship-style course played around the scenic 100-foot-wide Chippewa River. The course was designed by former PGA Pro and Mount Pleasant native Dan Pohl. In addition to great golf, the Polecat is the perfect spot for your upcoming wedding or corporate event with seating up to 300 guests. For more information, please visit polecat.net. Saturday's football game between Hillsdale and Northwood gets underway at 1 o'clock at Hant Stadium. It's good to be back home finally after 3 straight road games. All the links to follow the game live and for you to buy tickets for Saturday's game are on GoNorthwood.com. We'd love to see you there, though. Once again, 1 o'clock Saturday at Hant Stadium. That's the only home event for the whole weekend here. Our soccer teams are currently in Ohio playing a pair of games coming up this weekend, while volleyball will play 3 matches at the Midwest Crossover Tournament in Hammond, Indiana. So good luck to all of the Northwood teams competing this weekend. I'd like to thank all of our guests for tonight's show. Leonard Haynes, Ryan DeHommel, and baseball coach Jake Sable. This is Travis McCurdy signing off. Have a great night, everybody.